could you show now? You're just so wild at that. Here, have some booze. Calm me down. You gonna have beers?
No.
No, no, no. I'm Dad now. Get out, Dad. Welcome to Dr. Fred Bell's Health Science and Energy Show, 24th of March, 2011. With my host behind me there, Buddy Boo on the stand because he can't hold still. I think he eats hot peppers or something. And Steve Barish over there, I don't know if he's as wild as Buddy Boo is. Are you pretty wild today, Steve Barish?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we apologize for starting late, but we'll let the schedule get back on at 6 o'clock, so we got a 45-minute show today. So what's been going on this week, anyway?
Nothing much. Doing a lot of work, doing a lot of energy work this week. And there's a lot of people coming in that need a lot of help. I've never seen it like that before, but they're getting into deeper ends of their cells, and I'm opening up and releasing them as much as I can. So
a lot of new clients?
No, just my regular clients, Fred, but there's a lot of people that really want to make some big changes. And that's the wonderful part
about
it.
With the way the Earth is going right now.
Boy, I'll tell you, it's something.
I'd recommend that this year of 2011 be big change week. I mean,
yep.
Big change year for a lot of folks.
A lot of people.
Yeah, otherwise they're not going to be doing too well next year.
Well, yeah, there's going to be a lot of people. Yeah.
House cleaning, it's a year to get your karma in order.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
for sure.
It really is, seriously.
Yeah.
So we did the big WHO show yesterday, right after Rush Limbaugh on his network. And that was interesting. The girl that was the host, she actually worked with President Reagan. I don't know what she did with him, but she worked with him pretty close. But she kept wanting to attack Obama. I mean, it's like, I thought we were going to do a show on electronic harassment and how to prevent it, and I mean, how to protect yourself. And every 5 minutes, you bring up, so I have a copy of Obama's birth certificate from Kenya, you know?
Huh.
Yeah, bringing it up, it's like, I mean, I actually, Obama could be a friend, you know what I mean? I don't
yes.
believe in his policies, but he's just a puppet. And
yep.
So I don't blame him for the stupid things that are going on in his administration. He's a puppet, and he tries to step in and have a little authority sometimes, but bottom line is he doesn't have any power, you know?
That's right. That's
he doesn't have
right.
any, and I know the guy that got him elected, that I forget his name, but he's got the power over Obama.
Yeah.
So they keep attacking him. Yeah, he's not a U.S. citizen, and Joe Biden would, you know, it wouldn't matter if Joe Biden was in there or he's in there or if Bill Clinton was back in. We're going to get the same result until the American
yep.
people stand up. Contact their congressmen and their senators with easy, which you can do on form letters now, and actually make a statement. Otherwise, they're all going to be little sheep led down the road like Hitler did, and pretty soon we'll have, Homeland Security and FEMA will be the Gestapo, and they're on their way down.
That's
there
for sure.
Now, although FEMA may not last.
Yeah.
They're collapsing on the inside. And I think a lot of these agencies are going to eventually collapse on the inside.
Yeah.
My feeling, anyway. From what I see and what I hear and what I do. But, I mean, don't attack the bomber. That's stupid. It's like you don't attack a personage,
Right.
He doesn't do the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. He doesn't. His wife doesn't like America. We know all that. He's a Muslim,
Mm-hmm.
That's his belief, and just let him go with that. And then he'll come and go, and somebody else will be in there that can say the Pledge of Allegiance under God to the flag.
Yeah.
Every philosopher that ever said that you take God out of the Constitution or God out of the country, well, God's got to leave. You don't have to keep him around. And guess what happens? It goes to tyranny every single time. And that's going back, tracing it back to Atlantis 12,000 years ago until Lemuria 250,000 years ago. Tyranny always comes in when God leaves the equation. Doesn't matter what you believe in God to be. It's just a surrendering to a higher authority, which you do like in an AA meeting. You surrender to a higher authority
because
you're screwing up your own life. There's no difference between an AA meeting and the way this country is run. Because we're drugged out on politics versus alcohol.
Yep.
That's kind of what's going on, man.
Yep. It's heavy duty. It's real heavy duty. And why we're getting into another war is beyond me.
Well, that war, that's Article 713, I forget what amendment in the Constitution, was totally violated by him by sending those planes over there. Well, actually, 134 cruise missiles.
Mm-hmm.
At a cost of $30 million apiece, do the math, we spent $1 billion on opening night. Now, tell me what $1 billion would do to a real health care program in this country. What $1 billion would do to poverty levels in this country. And we blow it off on a stupid leader. But why? Because Libya is a black gold or, oil-producing nation.
Mm-hmm.
And what he's saying now over there is that the dictator over there, he's saying, hey, I'll determine where I sell my oil to now. France, you get involved, you won't get any more of our oil. Gaddafi. And if you look at him, he's outlasted five American presidents. He was back he goes all the way back to Reagan. And if you look at him, he's kind of an ugly looking fart. But I guarantee you, he's probably in way better health than anybody in our government. Maybe Obama's in pretty good health, but overall, this guy is powerful, and he ain't going nowhere. He's not some weak guy like Saddam Hussein was. He's powerful, and he ain't going nowhere.
Yeah.
But we're wasting our time with that one. Just let that country go into its own turmoil like we did in Egypt, and then come in. But it needs to stand up for itself. We can't stand up for weak people,
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the way it is. That karma has to work out its own. Country has to work out its own karma.
It seems
so that's
like
what's been going on. And of course, we've been doing a lot of Devastars for clients. People seem to want flamethrowers and Devastars now.
Well, the flamethrowers are really it's really incredible what they do. I had some light hit the projector today. I was watching it with a client of mine, actually, and the projector let out light. I'll never forget as long as I live. And the flamethrower took in the light. Never saw anything like that before in my life.
Yeah, was it the white one or the black one or which one?
The white one.
Wow.
The white one. It took in all the energy from the flamethrowers that fired energy off. So evidently, I have no idea what it did it for, but it must have done it for something. So it just took all that energy in.
Wow!
So it must have needed it to do something with what it was. I don't know, but I remember that firing a tremendous amount of light, and the light actually being eaten up by the flamethrower and probably used somewhere else. So. It's really incredible. That flamethrower, Fred, like most of your devices, after a while, has a mind of its own. Or
yeah,
maybe I'm just seeing something that's new that the projectors are doing. My room is wild. It's just wild, Fred. It does things that are really incredible. I'll be playing a tape, and we'll be talking about the flamethrower or talking about the projectors. And the next thing I know, the tape is getting messed up. And, you know, the power of these things in my room are just tremendous. And I have a good a DVD player and CD player. It's a Bose, and it'll just blah, 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 blah. It just starts up real quick and shuts off. Incredible.
Yeah. You're probably getting hit with electronic harassment. That's one of the symptoms of electronic harassment.
Is that what it is?
Is the funny display of devices. Computers breaking, computers getting fixed, appliances shutting themselves on and off.
Right.
Yeah, because of this show and what we're doing, you're probably getting hit with it, but you're protected because the stuff's obviously working or you wouldn't observe that, you know?
Right.
The observation is made by your appliances.
It's really incredible. You know, it really does work. And why it took in that energy is beyond me, but it took in. It's really wild. And it's the white one. It wasn't the dark one. It was the white one.
Yeah, it was normally the dark one would do that, I would think. But, you know, who am I to know?
Yeah.
Pleiadian device, and I remember it stopped a theta reticulating shift coming from crashing into my pickup truck up in Delta, New Mexico, the very first model of it. And so as a result of that, I have a lot of respect for it, you know?
Yeah.
And that was an early one. We didn't have the coils and the radiation detector devices built in and all the stuff that we have now.
Right.
Now we have that stuff.
But it's quite powerful. And so I take my hat off to you. That flamethrower is an incredible device.
Yeah.
I mean, I watch them, and I can see the light. I see what goes on. But I can't... It's just so powerful, and it does so much. I can't even keep up with it sometimes. Sometimes I can see it, sometimes I can't.
Yeah, it depends on how clear you are.
Yeah.
So you don't eat much red meat anymore, right?
No.
Yeah, because that'll block all that stuff, you know?
Yeah.
But it's not only the meat, but the steroids that are in there and the hormones that are in it, you know?
Yeah, it's all junk.
It's all junk. I haven't had it in years. And you know what? Finally, I don't miss it anymore.
Yeah.
It's a while to get over the craving, because, I mean, I was eating hamburgers when I was, like, you know, 8, 9 years old, you know, on my paper route. I'd stop and have 2 or 3 hamburgers in the morning on the way to do my paper route.
Right.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I ate a lot of junk food, but I didn't know any better, and I wonder why I got sick occasionally, you know?
Yeah.
Now I don't do that anymore. In years.
Once in a great while. I mean, I got people coming into my place with pneumonia, bronchitis. They cough, they do everything. It's very rare that I get sick. Very rare. But once in a while it'll happen, but not too often.
So you got a lot of coughing and stuff going on around there now?
Oh, yeah. We're having some really crazy weather. It just snowed the last 2 days a lot. I mean, really a lot. So, you know, for me to go down to see our buddy is impossible. I mean, it's just every time I want to go or, you know, so I'm going to call in tomorrow and get all that information. They go down to see him in a month or so.
But it's bad
up here. It's terrible.
I went over there a couple of weeks ago.
Excuse me?
It was a 3-hour drive from New York City, New Jersey, to where he was. 3.5 hours each way, she said. But she got to go inside and actually touch him and sit with him. She didn't have to talk to him through a glass window.
Yeah. It'll be nice seeing him. I've talked to him a few times. Nice guy.
You haven't talked to him since he's been in there, though, right?
No, I have not. I'm going to go down. I have all the information down here to call. I got to call this guy and set up a time. I guess you have to sign some papers and stuff. Then I'll go down and see him.
Yeah, you do the paperwork first.
Yeah, you got to get the paperwork. So that's what I'm going to do. I don't have the paperwork.
You could walk out if you wanted to. It's not
Excuse
even
me?
Around it. Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah.
Well, that's sort of good. I guess you could take walks during the day and stuff, you know.
Is he allowed to wear any of his necklaces in there?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
You're allowed to wear, in a federal correctional facility, I think you're allowed to wear a very small wedding band, if I remember correctly. The rules are posted on the website.
Okay.
Go to the name of the prison and then the website and look it up.
Yeah, I've got it here. It's
but his yoga class, I guess, is doing quite well in there. He says it's growing every day.
Yeah.
And that's good. He's doing a lot. I guess he's probably doing his martial arts, but
I would doubt think.
That but he's teaching that. He probably won't let him teach, you know, weapons.
Lewis Ron, it's a McKean, I think.
Yes, McKean.
Right, and so I got
he's
all the
in
information.
In the lower detention area. It's on the website. They got their own website.
Yeah, I'm going to give them a call. I've got all the phone number. I got his number. I got everything down. I just need to call somebody and get that paperwork, and then I can go down and see him about a month. There's no sense in it, and I'm not in a rush right now until the weather gets better. The weather's been absolutely terrible here.
Yeah, it'll probably usually in April it cleans up, about mid-April, about tax time.
Mid-April it'll clean up. You're right. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, that's what happens out here. The same thing. We've been getting a lot of rain and a lot of snow, but it's getting better now.
Snow?
Too.
You get snow there?
Oh yeah, in the mountains.
In the mountains, yes.
Well, she's right. We're only a few miles from the mountains, so.
Yeah.
Actually, we're in the mountains, but not the high ones. We're in the lower foothills.
Right. Right.
No, they're up there.
Hello?
Hello? Hello?
Yes, hi.
Hey, it's Steve, Dr. Bell. How are you? This is Garth again.
How's Garth?
How's it going? Yes, I'm the gentleman from New Jersey, the DNA relationship testing specialist.
Yeah, I remember, we talked to you about 2-3 months ago.
Yes, so how's everything?
We're
Dr.
fine.
Dr. Bell, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
The question is, I've been trying to do research on the different types of DNA, which is the A, B, and Z DNA.
Right.
And outside of the spins, I just wanted to know, what are the other properties of this DNA? I've been having a difficult time trying to find anything else outside of the spins for these three different types of DNA and, of course, their shape. So I was just calling. Maybe you can give me some insight or maybe point me in a direction of some material I can utilize to get more information on maybe how old these DNAs are or which one is the oldest or something to that effect.
Well, I have a friend of mine. His name is John Anderson. He sold a company called Isogenics recently. It's a big company. And set up a lab for DNA research primarily on telomeres, which is a gene, and so what I could do is put you in contact with him. You need to send me an email with your questions.
Sure.
Okay. FredBell@Paradigm.com, and then I'll send it over to John. He's retired, but he's very wealthy and very powerful, and he spent, I don't know, probably looks like a couple of $1 million on his newest lab, maybe more.
Sure.
And for DNA research on longevity. And so I haven't had a chance to work with him because I'd like to work with him on a quantum biological level. And he'll start out because he's formulated vitamins and minerals. I mean, Isogenics is a $1 billion-a-year company right now. And he could probably give you a lot more information than I could. I mean, are these genes that you're looking at in DNA sugars or phosphates, or what are you looking at? I mean,
well, I'm actually looking at the actual the structure. Because looking at the Z-DNA, I noticed that the actual nucleotide bases are longer within the Z than they are with the B and the D. Now, the B and the D spin right, but the Z spins left at a 45-degree angle, whereas the A and the B, I think it's 35 and 33-degree angles on the spin.
Yeah.
So I was wondering what would cause that. Or does an individual DNA based on their intake?
Well, from a physicist point of view, you're looking at third charges, so you're looking at quark levels. Okay. Murray Gell-Mann was the discovery of he's still alive. He's 83. He's over in Arizona now. So you're looking at quark levels when you start looking at sugars and phosphates with not complete one charge level. And when you start doing that, you're starting to get into Richard Feynman's area, which is quantum electrodynamics, QED. And so I would approach it from a physicist's point of view, because that's what I am, more than a biochemist. Now, John, he'll approach it from a biochemical level. But you need to get his biochemical take, you know, after you send me an email so I can hook you up with him. And then, I actually can give you his email on the air. You won't mind. Let me just get it for you.
It's, sure.
Yeah, hang on. It's just tell him that you talk to me on the show. It's J.W. Anderson, like Anderson, at Cox.net. And just tell him that you're a friend of mine and what you're doing, and you need some input. And tell him what you do.
Sure.
Give him a little before you ask him a question. Give him about a paragraph with maybe, say, 100 words of who you are and what you do. Follow me?
No question. I sure will.
Yeah, he's a very bright guy and one of the brightest people in that area that there is. And he's not arrogant or anything. He's very humble. But you need to not embarrass yourself because he's humble by not giving him some background information so he knows how to address you directly. At what level?
Absolutely.
You follow what I'm saying?
And, no, absolutely. Absolutely. I appreciate it, Dr. Bell. Thank you very much.
Yeah. And then when you get into that research, just remember, this is what John will have to learn, too, from me, and that is that in today's times, the way the energies work, you know, in the old days, the frequency wasn't high enough in chemistry or biochemistry, where the intelligence of the experimenter or the, you know, the person that's doing the research would affect the outcome of the solution or the experiment. But in today's times, we're at a higher frequency, and it has a direct involvement in the outcome. And this was proven beyond a reasonable doubt by Alain Aspect, the French scientist, when he sent photons in opposite directions and changed the polarity of one, and the other one was simultaneously followed at any distance, which violated some of Einstein's work, but it's now a scientific proven fact that things happen instantaneously, which then established the fact of quantum tunneling, which he was doing, which ends up with quantum entanglement. The end result is when the photon is going one way a million miles an hour and the other one's going the other way, and you change one, the other one corresponds. That's the entanglement process. And that has a big effect in chemistry now. That's where you would probably be very smart to use, when you start doing your work, set up an environment using our projector systems like we use, because that will put the right energy out to allow what's called the SPDC process, or the spontaneous parametric down conversion process, which you would use with our lasers and our projectors in different frequency lasers, violet to red, which is from 402 nanometers to about 700, to allow this whole process to work in a homogeneous level. You follow me?
Well,
and,
yes,
and when because when you're working with a body and you're working with DNA, you're working with a changing force. And as I wrote about in my book, Rays of Truth, Crystals of Light, the energies of a black hole out in space, you know, energy isn't created or destroyed, it changes state. And judging on the work of, you know, Leonard Susskind and Michio Kaku, the energy dissolves in the black hole and it reappears in our chromosome level as chromosomes. As you know, 46 chromosomes per person, and during the DNA gene splicing process, which leads to mitosis, and that, of course, is the intelligence of mitosis when you have cellular reproduction. Are you with me?
And no, absolutely.
Yeah, so you've got to start looking at the overall process and look at it at the quantum level as a precursor to the chemistry. In other words, an intelligentsia to the chemistry. Whereas before, you know, like when I took chemistry as a chemist, you know, studying chemistry, all we were doing was balancing equations and formulas. which is great. You know, sodium chloride is this, and you have sodium and chloride, and you know, hydrogen and oxygen makes water. But you have, you know, the formulas to show how it works that takes into atomic, you know, the atomic weight into consideration and the atomic numbers into consideration. This is something
right.
beyond that. And
right.
the only science that I can say directly that's really been proven that's orthodox, that people understand, is old Barry Sears when he wrote the book The Zone, explaining the precursors to hormones, which cause hormone changes in the body, which cause consciousness changes. And so he looked at the precursing hormones, which puts you, and you have those going, then the hormone balance of the body is in a zone, and you feel like you're together spiritually, mentally, physically, et cetera, et cetera. And that's, you know, you got to have that feeling going on in your body for any sort of longevity, or you won't have the longevity. That simple.
Dr. Blair, let me ask you, because when you went into you mentioned something that actually when I was reading your book, and when you were talking about the DNA and of course the 46 base pair rotation, and then upon the first breath, of course you lose a number of base pairs, and as we age, of course, this, you know, we lose more spin on the base pair rotation.
Yeah, you drop from 46.
That
46 base pairs
is,
down to 4 or 5, you know. That's the base pairs
return. I'm sorry, say it again?
Yeah.
I was going to say, is the base pair rotation loss due to increased base pairs that slow down the spin?
Well, it's basically caused by harmonic stress. Harmonic stress is a planetary vibration that's set up by the conflict of man with nature. And that affects all living things, not just humans. It affects everything. You know, humans used to live 600-700 years on this planet. Now they're down to, well, they're making a comeback, but it's pretty sad, the comeback. 10 years or a decade or two in lifespan is nothing. I'd rather see, you know, a century or two added on. You know what I mean? And
sure.
We've lost that. So you have to set up the parameters, and these are these precursors that you need to set in place. And the precursors are a combination of the etheric energies and the physical energy, mostly the etheric ones, but with a reference point that the physical can respond. Because what happens is you can put a cement coat on DNA, and it won't respond to the etheric changes. And the way you do that is you'd be a heavy tobacco smoker, alcoholic,
right.
drug addict, those kind of things would put a freeze on the DNA in a person. You know, in the lab you might not see it unless the experimenter is in that condition, which then he induces it into the experiment. So you need fairly clean experimenters, fairly clear people working on this stuff, or you're going to get a lot of distortion.
So, because I guess the reason why I asked this question, because in my research I see that it says the DNA may have 3 billion base pairs or 6 billion base pairs or in between that. So I was just wondering whether based on, like you said, I do agree with the stress levels. The less stress you have, I guess the closer you, or more spin you would have on your DNA, and the more base pairs you have, the more stressful, I guess, out of balance with nature you would be. Would that be a correct?
Yeah, that would be correct.
Viewpoint on it.
Yeah, if you were to take a DNA strand and pull it out, a healthy one, like at birth, it's about 3 feet long, about 36 inches long, in its completion. You know, to have all the proper base pairs. As you get older, it starts to shorten. And what they found in biochemistry, based on Crick's work and Watson's work in the early days to now, is that get down to the genetic level of the telomeres level, that's the last gene that sort of, that's like the caboose. And as the DNA shortens, of course it sends less commands to the cells, so the cells cannot do, you know, they don't have a complete blueprint anymore. So they built a half-assed earth, non-earthquake proof, you know, structure, which eventually gets down to six base pairs per turn. Telomer still being the caboose, and then you're out of here. You know what I mean? You're just gone.
Sure.
That's why what our receptors do is we found that it stops that, you know, shrinking process. Doesn't stop at 100%, but it slows it way down. We just don't have the complete biochemistry to work with what we've got on the precursing level.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Mm. Wow. Excellent.
Yeah, Barry Sears on the, you know, he called the precursors to a hormone echinocoids, okay? Echinocoids. And that was something that he discovered that doesn't last. It's hard enough to measure a hormone in the body. The hormone structure of the body, they're so small and so fast, they don't last very long once they hit the bloodstream and go to the brain. Hormone, you know, endocrinology is a very, almost a electron microscope field at this point. Yet the hormone has complete control of our consciousness, you know, as long as we're in a body. So you're looking at some very minuscule particles. You almost need some electron microscopy to really track visually what's going on, you know. You can use stains and dyes like they do for, DNA testing on criminals or whatever. There's ways of doing it. But the bottom line is you really want to see the molecular structure. So you need a really good electron microscope. And you need one of the newer ones that doesn't interfere, doesn't put an interference pattern down on what you're observing, what some of the older ones did, because of the radiation that was required to make those tubes amplify. They're like X-rays, you know, inside a microscope, those electron microscopes. They're like X-rays. And at the end of the X-ray, instead of having a piece of film, you have an eyepiece, you know, with a filter on it, basically. You know, it's an electronic eyepiece, so you don't have radiation in your face, but they do run on X-rays, you know. It's part of electron microscopy.
Gotcha. Wow. Excellent. Well, thank you for answering my questions, Dr. Bell. I appreciate it. And I'm going to shoot
send John Anderson an email. Send me one and see what he says.
Oh, I'll definitely do that. I'll shoot him an email. I'll give you a call back and let you know how it turns out.
And then if you, I don't know. I don't have pictures of his lab. He just built this new lab. And he has infinite funds, you know, his own personal nature. He's got nothing to do but spend money on this. I mean, he's got nothing. He's got so much money. He's got every toy there is on the planet. He's a toy freak. He's probably got 200 cars in his collection. You know, he's got two or three ranches. He's got all this stuff that we, material stuff. He's over that, and he's into this now, you know. He's had the material side. You know, he used to collect Harley motorcycles. He had one hell of a collection. You know, we used to go riding on his, we'd pick a different bike every hour. You know, he had so many of them, but he's way over that now. Yeah. I think he's got like 20 Ford Mustangs, you know.
Holy mackerel.
Yeah, he used to go to an auction and buy 30 or 40 cars and haul them off to his warehouse. Yeah, you talk about Master Crystal, he probably has 300 or 400 of them.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, he would buy crystal clusters weighing tons and put them in his house. I'm talking, you know, a person that's got a little bit of money here, and he's smart. And he just did it as a hobby, and then he just went through phases. We went through a lot of... I was the one introducing the Master Crystals. He probably spent $4 or $5 million on those, or maybe 10, I don't know.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
That's some change to him. But now he's into making this planet, you know, better. He's always been into that, because he's always had, you know, very, very successful companies.
Mm-hmm.
It's our trace mineral formula that we sell to Pirillo, he designed half of it.
Wow.
And, but he's into this DNA stuff, and he's got the money and the resources to really make a difference. He's not an idiot, you know. And he's still a young guy. He's only in his mid-50s.
That's it.
He's like Richard Branson of health. You know, I'm serious. He's one of the most wealthy people on this planet, and he's very open.
Wow.
And if he sends him an email, he'll get an answer.
Wow.
He's that kind of guy. He's not unapproachable at all.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
John Anderson, look up Isogenics.
I use his products.
Yeah, and then he founded it. I actually helped him start it. I got Jim, what's his name, the president. I introduced him and his wife to him, who runs it now. Mm-hmm. I set up the original personnel to make that company happen. He owns Princess Diana's jet. He's got a Hawker 7. I've been in it. Princess Diana owned that jet, the private jet. Hauls about 13 people. He's got it sitting over in his backyard. I've been trying to get it from him. He hasn't been able to afford the monthly payment on it, you know.
I can imagine.
Well, it's not. It wouldn't be that much, but I'd just have to keep it flying, you know. He's got insurance and all that. Yeah, he's a cool guy.
That's wild.
Yeah,
that's
so
wild.
I got crazy friends that do crazy things, you know.
Yeah.
And that's what makes the world go crazy.
Yeah, he's got wonderful products like you do.
Yeah, yeah. Was his company before that was called Integrated Health. And the funny thing about it, we spent 20 years, well, about 15 years with National Health Federation.
Mm-hmm.
When I met him years ago, like 30 years ago, maybe more, he was selling his, he was making trace minerals. You know, he was getting the clay from Idaho.
Right.
And bringing it down, or Utah, rather, and making it in a 50-gallon drum in a little tiny garage.
Mm-hmm.
He mixed up a formula. It looked like a Jim Beam bottle. He sell it out the back of his Cadillac. And that, you know, he was just becoming a millionaire. Well, yeah, he was actually a millionaire from a couple of print shops that he owned. But, I mean, I met him when he was in his 20s. And look where he's at now.
Wow.
I watched him build an empire. You know, and it ain't shrunk.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just amazing what people can do. He has a good idea in biochemistry and science. You know, he's good. I'm more of a quantum biologist now, and he's more of the biologist type person.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
He's more of a chemist actually, but he's good. He went over to Tibet.
He did.
Yeah, and he got the Shilajit. He spent $1 million. Took a video camera and some people, went over to Tibet, went to the highest hills. They flew a helicopter up as high as a helicopter would go, dropped him off, rented the elephants or whatever, or camels, I think. I don't know, llamas, whatever they were riding. Went up to like 20,000 feet, had these guys hanging on the side of cliffs, getting shilajit out of the hills. Shilajit looks like black tar coming out of the top of a mountain in Tibet. These pickers get up there in a bucket, and they hand pick it and put it in buckets, and they bring it, and they're suspended on ropes. Somebody above them is holding a rope, and they lower the rope down to the floor of the valley, and then they dump it in a thing and put it on the elephant and bring it back.
Amazing.
Yeah, and he brought that back, and he's a diabetic. He's always been diabetic all his life. And the shilajit will cure diabetes. So he came back and he started selling that. I mean, he just, out of his own pocket, went up and spent a few million bucks, started another company selling shilajit, which eventually went into Isagenics. Yeah. That's the kind of guy he is. And I saw him do it. I saw the video. As a matter of fact, the guy that went with him that directed the expedition, I introduced him to. So we've had a pretty good, connection for many, many, many years.
Yeah, yeah. Amazing.
Yeah, look
sounds like a great guy.
Pretty cool stuff.
I think we might have to sign off, Fred. It's 8:54 my time.
Yeah, we'll go another minute or two. I told him I'd be out of there by 6.
Oh, okay, great.
Yeah, we're fine.
Great. Okay. So my question to you is, these people that you know, they seem to be fabulous people.
Yeah, they are.
They're really doing some wonderful things for the planet like you are.
I'm doing what I can do. We all do what we do, you know.
Yes.
I never approached it from the wealth side. I was never a person to gather extreme wealth from it, you know, like John and those guys in West and all these people that can do that. You know, West did it from the acting side, but he's also a pretty good homeopathic doctor too.
Yeah.
And I never did it for the money, and so I've been blessed to have enough money to have the lifestyle that I need and have the things that I need to make the thing happen.
Yeah.
But I never went at it like some of my friends did that became billionaires. You know, I don't know why. I don't have that. When John and I used to go to Vegas, example of what he's like, he'd have a trade show going like at the Hyatt over there.
Right.
Big place. And he'd have like 15 employees in there and they'd be doing a trade show with either for Isagenics or one of the other companies.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's probably costing him 15 employees in there, probably cost him $10,000 or $15,000 for a weekend just for that, you know. We'd go down to the roulette table,
mm-hmm.
and he'd stop, and he'd watch the reds and the blacks.
Mm-hmm.
He'd throw, he'd throw a couple bets down and walk out with $5,000 or $10,000. He did it every single time.
Wow.
Where I'd throw the money down, and that's the end of my money. I'm not a gambler. You know, this guy
right.
is a gambler.
Right.
And he'd easily win $15,000 or $20,000 with three trips up to the roulette table. That covered
yeah.
his overhead for his employees just from gambling, and he didn't even give a damn, you know. He already
right.
had the money to take care of everything. This is, became chump change, and he just pays all his expenses. He's always been that way, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. He reminds me of, if you were to look at him, he'd look like, was that guy, Kenny? There's one singer that looks just like him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been mixed up with him a lot. There's Kenny something, and he's this old singer, and he wears a cowboy hat. And
oh,
he looks just
Kenny
like,
Rogers?
Kenny Rogers. Yeah, he looks just like Kenny Rogers.
They've
been asked if he's Kenny Rogers with the same beard, the same this, and the same hat, and the same clothes, the same size, about 6'2", same build, not fat, just a big, healthy guy,
mm-hmm,
strong.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he looks just like Kenny Rogers.
Wow.
Yeah, he's a trip. Don
Amazing.
W. Anderson.
Amazing.
Yeah, he's always been good to me.
He's
well, now
like
I guess we can sign off. Let's let the station get back on to its normal routine. Go ahead and put your phone number up, and I'll put
yeah,
mine,
sure.
and we'll be out of here.
It's 585-746-8321, and I'm more than happy to help you.
And my number is 1-800-729-2603. And our email is fredbell@pyradyne, that's PYRADYNE.com. Do you have an email?
StephenBarish@frontiernet.net.
Yeah, that's pretty easy.
Yeah.
And so I guess we're going to get out of here now. It's 5:58. This is Dr. Fred Bell's Health, Science, and Energy Show, live every Thursday at 5 o'clock p.m. Pacific at bbsradio.com. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, Fred.
All right, have a good week.
Bye-bye.